You're listening to Fakeologists Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to fakeologists.com/radio3. To participate in the chat, go to fakeologists.com/audio chat. Each day, we compress and upload the day's chat, be it big or small. Leave a quick message, do a whole show. All are welcome when it's related to fakeology. Now, on with today's audio.
Hark, what light through yonder window breaks? It is the east.
It is Thursday, October 26th, year of our Lord, 2017. I'm Fakeologist, the Aberrado, and I'm talking to, it looks like, an ounce of salt.
It is an ounce of salt per day, but you've suddenly faded out, Ab. To be or not to be, that is the question. Whether 'tis nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, or to take arms against a sea of troubles and by opposing end them, to die, to sleep no more, and by a sleep to save in the heartache and the thousand natural shocks that flesh is heir to, it is a consummation devoutly to be wished. To die, to sleep perchance to dream, aye, there's the rub, for in that sleep of death what dreams may come when we have shuffled off this mortal coil. For who would bear the whips and scorns of time, the oppressor's wrong, the proud man's contumely, the insolence of office?
I'm back, sorry.
You are back.
I mean, that wonderful introduction, and then I get called by a less than intelligent work insubordinate with a dumb question. But I'm back. Hello, Frank.
I am. How are you?
I'm still in my salt mine.
You're supposed to say there's no such thing as a dumb question because you're a caring employer?
Yeah, no, I'm not caring that much. Just slap them around and hear stupidity. We don't suffer fools gladly here at Fakeologist.com. Frank, are you in Victoria? What state are you in?
Yeah,
state of confusion or?
No, it's called the Garden State, Ab. Come on.
Yeah, that's New Jersey.
Well, I'm not surprised.
New Jersey is the Garden State. What state are you in again? Victoria? No, that's a city.
Victoria's it's a state.
Okay. We have a city called Victoria. It's in British Columbia.
I have been there.
It's the gray capital of Canada. The average age is 60-something.
Yeah. Well, it's just my place then.
Well, you love it. No, it's one of the warmest cities in Canada.
Yeah.
It is.
Listen, Victoria Island, etc.
Say again?
There's an island, Victoria, isn't there?
Vancouver Island is on...
Vancouver Island.
Victoria. Named after Captain Vancouver. Wonderful man.
Yeah.
I think he did a lot of sailing and boating, shipping.
Yeah.
Well, how are you today, Frank? Or how are you tomorrow?
It's a strange concept, isn't it? I'm as well as I've ever been, Ab. What about you?
I'm fine. We're having a wonderful October weather-wise. I haven't felt like sitting down in front of the great mic and expounding my views on people. I like to get non-fakeologists into my fakeologist lair. I'm trying to get a guy I found through the flat earth. And that's one of the values, I think, of the flat earth debate, because it brings in a lot of people that have no interest in fakeology. So I don't discount it. And yes, go ahead.
But you terminated Soundwave.
Well, no, Soundwave was not getting it. I don't mind people coming in, but he was just... I just found his whole line just not productive. If he's not here to absorb some of the information, he just keeps pumping out this one track idea.
I'm teasing you, Tim, yeah. Because it just didn't occur to me for one second that there was anything genuine about the character.
Well, even if he was genuine, I just whatever he was posting, I just thought was nonsensical and not appropriate in the fakeologist forum. And of course, this is a benevolent dictatorship. There's no First Amendment, the American rights, in the Discord fakeologist forum. So anyone who wants to go on about that is just going to
pissing into the wind. I think is what most often people say.
Yeah, I don't know why all these YouTubers are complaining about their First Amendment rights. They don't apply to a private forum, I'm quite sure. A private forum comes first for commercial contracting. So YouTube is a commercial enterprise, and they don't have to adhere to any First Amendment, as far as I know.
Yeah.
Why would they? Can you imagine if you told your boss off every day and you got fired and then you appealed and said, I have the First Amendment right to say anything I want? I don't think so.
It's just the whole world, isn't it? The illusion of democracy.
Well, it's the illusion of rights. All these rights people think they have. I think their rights are more ideals. I'm not even sure they can really be, well, they try and define them by law, but I think they're just ideals, morals, really.
Well, each definition narrows what you're entitled to. It doesn't increase it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I suppose, maybe.
Whereas if it's left undiscussed, then really you've got whatever rights you are able to establish for yourself, haven't you?
Well, yeah, I suppose. It's very abstract. It's not really fakeologist related, so but it's very esoteric conversation, I find. I just want to promote the Peace of Mindful blog. I think that Mark Tokarski, very good writer, I find. I like his big idea posts. That's the type of posting I wish I did more of. I really enjoy that big thinking, and I continue to post his good works, and he is going to come on to the audio eventually. Hopefully he's to prove himself as a real entity, at least audio-wise. So I'm looking forward to having him on. That's peaceofmindful.com.
And what is it particularly that moved you, Ed?
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on fakeologist.com.
Well, just his continued posting on big ideas, big concepts. He seems to be one of the very few people in the whole wide world, besides this website and its participants, that talk about psychological operations, hoaxes, their purpose, their execution. And I just find his writing very solid. And he started off sort of a milky area for me, a murky area, not milky. with this face splitting idea. It had a gold buggery type feel to it to me. And I know maybe not to you, but where he was splitting faces and saying this person's that person, and I suppose again very similar to Dallas Goldbug.
And what's your view of face splitting? Yeah.
Well, I just don't think it's necessary or a good idea to recycle people. And I just, my gut feeling is that it's wrong. Now, he argued most of them, he argued very similarly to the way you argue about this person that's playing that person. And none of it was convincing to me. And I didn't really have a great argument against it, but I like to go with my gut instinct to find it was very misleading. Now, I don't know exactly how he defended his position. I can't quite remember. But what I have noticed is he has backed off all these face-splitting things, and he's taken back many of them. Many of them he's taken back and put them away or hidden them. And he said as much as that's what he was going to do, because he wasn't certain of them anymore. For instance, he said that Janis Joplin is Amy Goodman. Right. And I've never really studied either of them because I really couldn't care less about either of the two individuals. Mm-hmm. I'm more likely to think that Janis Joplin was probably an EGI individual. Now, some people would accuse me of being Dallas Goldbuggery with that research, which is fine. We all have our weaknesses for what we think is correct. But I certainly didn't see enough evidence using their imagery to say that these two people line up with digital face splitting. So I'm throwing it on the Dallas Gold Bug pile.
So I should state for listeners that my view is not that any of these things are right or wrong or necessarily. My view is that the models presented can be useful, but can also be disproved in some way. So until they're disproved, you know, I kind of think they're possible.
Okay. Well, what's your thinking on the face splitting?
I haven't had a look at the face splitting. I just find the general. There's a couple of problems. The biggest problem I have with Dallas Goldbug, for example.
You have a problem with Dallas Goldbug? I wish I had a timpani here. Oh, okay.
Well, you've got it on record, though, haven't you?
Or do I? I don't remember.
We're just recording it right now. The problems that I have with Dallas Goldbug is that, for example, he says that the guy that plays John Lennon also played Steve Jobs, but I think it's pretty obvious from a casual examination of Beatles photographs, etc.
I think you broke up.
I was saying that one of the claims that Ed makes is that John Lennon was played by the same guy that played the role of Steve Jobs. Now, the problem with that claim is that it's pretty obvious that there's been multiple John Lennons. You know, they're just different guys in the photos all over the place. So perhaps one of the fellows that played Steve Jobs was one of the fellows that played John Lennon, but it all gets a bit murky, doesn't it?
Sorry, Frank, got cut off again. Oh, sorry, one more time. Who is John Lennon played by?
Well, Dallas Goldbug, Ed Chiarini, claims that the fellow that played John Lennon also played the role of Steve Jobs.
Oh, okay. All right.
And I was saying that the problem, one of the people might be true, but the problem with the whole review of Beatles stuff is that it looks like there's been several John Lennons.
Yeah, I think that's to be. I think that's true. I agree with that statement. Yeah.
And so that's part of the. I guess my view is that all of the mainstream, what would you call them, for want of a better word, fakeology people, there's always a certain limit they'll go to and no further. You know, for example, I am in a spat with Ray West at the moment simply because he thinks all science is fake except for evolution, except for gravity, etc. You know, it always seems to be a certain point that people will go to, but no further.
Yeah, that is interesting how if you had to check off a laundry list of all the things that fakeologists tend to agree with, just tend to, it's amazing how everyone has a couple really strange 90-degree tangential beliefs that just don't fit. It seems like many people do have that. Many fakeologists.
And that's what I guess I look for, is that what I consider to be incongruent or paradoxical views that people hold. You know, there is quite often you'll find that people will maintain two views that are just in direct conflict with each other.
Yeah, and they don't provide a good enough explanation to
or bother with any explanation. There's bluster usually, or anger, or let's just move.
Yeah. I think that's what makes you and I different, in the sense that
I don't know, but unfortunately we're all blind to our own shortcomings, so I've got no idea which of the bits that I have in contradiction. But yes, I haven't really found you to be too contradictory.
I don't really think you are either, and I can get along with you just fine. I just, you know, like anything else in life, we just ignore the things we don't like. We can get on.
And I guess that's my view of what love is.
There's no need for division.
No, none at all. Absolutely none at all.
I get along with lots of people in life that I disagree with a lot. I wish I accept all the non-fakeologists. And then that's most people. I don't argue.
Have you met a fakeologist in life? In actual, you know, when
no,
I walked
I don't
down the street?
Think so. Well, some of the, I would yeah, I mean,
I have met a couple of the people that, you know, that I've connected with through this medium, but okay. I have never come across someone just, you know, in the
randomly
that has this kind of idea.
I've met lots of doubting Thomases that just don't believe they're being told the truth by government, but those are just run-of-the-mill doubters. They're not fakeologists in any way. I don't confuse them at all with fakeology. They're just, oh, yeah, the government lies, and, oh, he's a cheater, and, yeah, I don't believe the official story. All those kinds of comments. Those are very pedestrian comments.
Yes, and the inability to connect the idea that maybe the government is not here to help them is kind of interesting. Despite all the evidence, it doesn't.
Well, they see the castle in front of them, but they have no idea what's in it, and they have no idea how it got there, and they don't want to know. Actually, they know it's there.
Or why? As Chris Kendall says, why it is that they have to do it? The man with the black robe and the white horsehair wig.
Yeah, they have no idea, but they know they're in the system, and they know that they're going to cause pain if they don't abide by the system, so they just go along. That's how most people live. That's how I live, really.
It's super interesting. Same here. It's super interesting, but I guess there's a certain freedom in not being upset about it, isn't it? You know, the acceptance that you spoke about.
Well, the only thing that... unless you're just completely delusional or just completely out of it, I think that if you are plugged in to the media, you really need a way to understand it so it doesn't hurt you. That's what I call fakeology. Some people call it delusion, but I call it a good deciphering method, a good key to unlocking what the media really is.
And if I take that a little bit further, one of the real pleasures in life for me now is to be unfearful of nuclear destruction or Ebola or AIDS or really anything.
Yeah.
Or you know, and we notice the proof of that simply because North Korea has disappeared from the news for the last, I don't know how long, was it 3 or 4 weeks, whereas before that it was everything about North Korea and nuclear attack, and, you know, so it gets switched for a while. When people, it looks like people are going to get too fearful, what was the next one that occurred? It was the Las Vegas thing, and then that became the dominant feature for all. No, it was Harvey Weinstein.
And then, Weinstein or Weinstein?
You say potato, I say potato.
I know, that was one of the bigger debates on some of the more useless talk shows. Is his name Weinstein or Weinstein? Let's talk about that all day.
Oh, well, and then move on to the Mandela effect about which it was. Was it the Weinstein or the Weinstein bear?
Oh gosh, that Brian, what's his name? Brian Stavely, who I tend to enjoy. I don't know what he was talking about with the Mandela effect. I don't know if he accepts it or he doesn't accept it. He was so unclear. I'm so not interested in that, and I think that is just my stated position is it's just another psyop just to see how gullible people are and how much they believe. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think Brian believes in it, but I don't know. I can't put any effort into trying to figure out what he was saying.
So I guess that's the other thing that I like to have the view is that believing in anything is foolish.
Belief is the enemy of knowing, says Crow 777.
Well, that's a reasonable point of view, isn't it?
I don't mind that. Yeah, I like that.
But the problem is there isn't any knowing either. I think it's a slightly mischievous statement because knowing is the same as belief. If you know something, that's a belief, isn't it?
It's a staunch belief.
Yeah.
It's the staunchest belief.
And I guess that's the other particular aspect of this type of thinking that I have found freeing is not attaching myself to, you know, while I'm happy to argue my case as strongly as I can, I'd like to think that when I've been proven incorrect, that I can accept that. It leads to sanity.
Yes. Well, you talk about the nuclear fear, and I can assure you that the fear factor is still being pushed quite heavily by the mainstream media, and that's just from reports from people that I like, and I can't reach them, so they're just too far gone, and I can't even begin to explain the absurdity of the position that they're holding.
But my favorite part of their absurdity, Ab, is that if they really believed that to be true,
yeah,
then why are they behaving the way they're behaving right now? If that was true, if they thought that there was Armageddon just around the corner, then how can they explain their current behavior, which is going to work and just doing nothing, you know, wasting their whole lives? If they think it's really going to snuff out, you know, any second.
Yeah.
That's the kind of point that I was talking about before, where people hold these contradictory views. And
are
just
you saying
they should
be hunkering down in a bunkering? Hunkering in a bunkering?
Well, I'm saying their current behavior is totally at odds with the paradigms that they hold to be true. They're cowering in fear.
Yeah.
And so what action are they taking? Are they just going to lie there and wait for this threat to materialize? None of people's behavior makes any sense, is simply the point I'm making.
Right.
And
you're talking about everyday people to believe the news.
Yeah. In every aspect of it, or there's going to be some, you know, some corpse dug up from World War One that's going to have the flu that wiped the world out, and it's going to be genetically modified, and we're all doomed, said Hanrahan. It's great. It's, you know, as I said, and it leads to an early grave, I'm sure. And I guess I have the view that most people are actually talked into dying at the age of 70 for no reason, other than they're told that that's what their lifespan is.
Getting back to a piece of mindful, so you're saying you haven't really looked at the blog at all in my personal
life. Oh, that was good. The Daleks have arrived. Ab, your voice morphing technology has failed a bit.
Ah, hold on a sec. Am I coming in now?
There you are. You've obviously restored it.
There, I'm trying to restore order. I have a very aggressive competing Bluetooth service that tries to take away Bluetooth from its competitor. It's very aggressive and is always successful. I can't stop it.
Ah.
Technology is just so complicated. I don't know how the average schlub can even understand it.
Well, does anyone really understand it?
Well, somebody must. Whoever makes it, whoever makes their little piece must understand at least what they've done.
Well, it's interesting that an engineer doesn't have to understand gravity to be able to design something that can stand up.
No, they just have to understand what they know, which is weight. We know that heavy things go below light things all the time.
Yeah, that's all.
That's an easy one. Yeah. I think I'm not too interested in gravity. I agree that it's it is a theory, and I just my idea is that it's a theory that just fills in a few holes for other theories that make no sense. So if they have a few holes in their theoretical model, they just create a new theory to plug the hole.
Well, of course, people keep talking about the theory of gravity coming from Newton, but now if you're really paying attention to modern physics, they're actually saying that it's like a gravity well, you know, as described by Einstein, you know, and they talk about, you know, that mass creates a kind of sinkhole for things to fall into. You know, there's all sorts of crazy stuff that goes on. The theory of gravity that everyone keeps talking about as being from Newton is not the model that's being pushed anyway. So we're all arguing about something that everyone's moved on from. It's another one of these, belief systems that are entirely paradoxical that people hold Einstein to be true and Newton to be true at the same time, when the two ideas can't stand together. It's just another one of those things that we have.
They're just too confusing for 99% of the population to even conceive. That's it, really, honestly. And I'm not the smartest guy, but I don't even want to try and figure it out. So I just think that smart people have figured it out, and I leave it alone, which is how most people just treat everything.
Yeah.
Figure out somebody else has figured it out. Actually, maybe the few people that challenged the BS, they just died off. So the official story just survives. All the challengers just disappeared. But that doesn't make the idea any more or less absurd than it was in the first place. Just like the dinosaurs, you know. It's almost like a dumb idea that somebody had, and maybe they didn't even think it was going to stick.
I thought the basic thesis was that the majority of media is controlled, you know, by virtually one single source, let's say the US military, and they just keep, they only allow the accepted paradigm to be discussed, and everything else is nonsense.
Muted. Yeah, it's muted. Yeah, for sure. U.S. military, who are acting on behalf of the people that control the money system, who are, I believe, just a disparate group of Jesuits, Jews, whatever group, whatever flavor that you want to say is at the top. But it all boils down to money and who has all of it. And just people don't realize, I guess, that there's very few that control all the money, all of it, where the rest of us are just, we're just arguing over the 1% that's left over, but they have 99% of the marvels at all times.
Yeah.
So when we're 99% of the population is fighting over 1% of the money, and the other 99% is being held by the 1%. So that's exactly how I think it's happening, and it's the people with all the money.
It's probably even more extreme than that, I would suggest. But yeah. It's going to be a tiny proportion of people with practically all the wealth. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, even in the state of Victoria, people think they own their houses, but of course, in the end, all of those contracts can be usurped by what they call the Crown, and I presume it's the Crown in Canada as well.
Yeah, stronger. Yeah.
And people think the Crown is the Queen of England, but in fact, the Crown refers to the London Square Mile. It's a corporation in the London Square Mile.
Yeah, that's
so,
true.
So, in fact, it's
a misdirection.
It's all very tightly held anyway. It's all, again, this series of facts that people kind of know, but don't have any problems holding these paradoxical views. One paradox I do want to talk about with you, just to get your thoughts on.
Sure.
We're told regularly, and I'm sure it's true, that the U.S. military force represents roughly 70% of total military force on the planet.
Okay.
And presumably with its allies, it's even more than that. And yet, the U.S. is constantly touted and believed to be the pillar of democracy and freedom. How does that work?
Yeah, very paradoxical. I agree with that, yeah. Well, just the number of bases that they hold. Well, yeah. I posted an article that they just have their first permanent base in Israel, a country that they basically helped create, the Atlanteans created, and they own it. I never understand, well, I do understand why that people think it's Israel runs the world. No, they didn't. Those are Atlanteans that created that. Beachhead in the Middle East. It's Atlanteans, the U.S. and the British, they created the thing. When did they give it up? They have their appointed Israelis or Zionists in charge of it, but certainly
I agree entirely. And the people there are just another tool.
Yeah, the people there were brought there with the intention that they would be safe from the world, and the reasons are all pure on the surface why they're there.
But again, another paradoxical set of views, isn't it? Because clearly the people there are the most at-risk people in the world.
Yes, wouldn't it be better to integrate and scatter than just put your all gathered together and make yourself a super concentrated target?
I mean, that is the most evil bit of buggery that's gone on there.
And really, if you know any Jews from World War II, that's why they did not want to leave Germany. Why would they want to leave their homes and go put a target on their back and go to one uninhabitable part of the desert? They did not want to leave. And the ones that just couldn't believe it was happening, well, they were loaded onto trains. They were corralled, and I believe all of that. But why would they want to give up and stop being integrated?
As I said, just a totally another example of these holding these paradoxical views. So I guess that's my meme for today. Is this is the holding of contradictory views just seems to be the norm, obviously. I think untangling your ideas about what's what and the idea that there is no imminent threats is very liberating.
And that is what the name of the last one of the recent posts I posted on fakeologist.com. I'll remind all the Discorders there is still a blog. I still put postings there, but I know that a lot of the readers are lost in the X channels at the Discord server, which is fine. But I try and put my better stuff on the blog for anyone who wants to still look over there. And you can't comment, but I don't. I'm okay with wherever people want to go and on the internet, and as long as I have a piece of it in the sense that competing media platforms, even on my own site, which is fine. You got to go where the people want to go.
Now, may I ask, is there a single thing at the moment that's particularly grabbing your interest?
Well, it was just that big idea post. I find a lot of the writers that Peace of Mind feel very good. For instance, Blue Moon is over there now under the name Tyrone, and I always thought he was one of the best posters. And yeah, he was just the proprietor of the blog, Mark, was just saying how there's no need to worry, and his own progeny are still worried about mainstream news, and it doesn't affect your health in a subliminal way. But he was just trying to point out how he doesn't worry based on what he knows about psyops and hoaxes. That was the main piece. And the fact that you haven't gone there just shows you how my blog is being overlooked a lot. So, yeah, I think you'd benefit by going over there and taking a peek, having a look-see, and reading some of the stuff. Some of the best stuff is in the comments. They have about, 30 comments a day, which is a lot to keep up with. And once more, I'll remind people that if you use an RSS reader like Feedly, you can take all the comments and they'll come into one feed, and you don't have to try and figure out which comments just came in. You can just read them in one continuous stream. It is the only way to read blogs and comments, including own.
When you put this audio up, are you going to put a few of these links in the description?
Well, I should, but people, yes, I should, but I should even do a YouTube on how to do it. I don't think most people are aware of, because really it is hard to efficiently harvest information on the internet. Even today, they make it so hard, or nobody makes it easy. The inverse is no one is making it easy. And I don't think people have any interest in really trying to get the information. They just get distracted by the latest flashy lure that gets dropped in front of their face. That's really how we humans operate. If people were able to read efficiently or listen efficiently, as I try and do, and it's a struggle, then they might get more out of the internet and even their favorite sites. There's my some good comments on peaceofmindful.com. And what else? Well, if you want to know what's on my mind, just go to my blog and we can sift through it. The JFK thing is, as usual, makes an increased presence coming up to November. November is JFK month in the PSYOP world.
And again, another contradictory set of opinions that's held about JFK, that somehow he was the guy that was going to save the planet, but he was terminated before he could, bring in the
changes
US,
the that would make a difference. Yeah.
Yeah, the proper silver-backed currency, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. None of which bears out any actual facts supporting these ideas. And,
yeah.
And in fact, everything he signed into law was totally at contradiction to these Camelot ideas. But for some reason, even though people hear and know all of these things, somehow he's held out as King Arthur. And, even called Camelot. It's terrific.
Yes, it is. It's a myth upon a myth. It's a myth replaced with other myths, alternative myths. And I posted something funny that came on our CBC YouTube channel. CBC is the Canadian Broadcast Corporation, our state fund. they did a video on, they reposted a video, of JFK meeting our prime minister at the time. His name was Diefenbaker, the chief. And incidentally, the word chief is being phased out in Toronto because it's ethnicist against natives.
Is it really?
The word they're trying to remove, they're removing chief from the lexicon because it somehow demeans natives because their leaders are called chiefs.
I might add that I don't think the Indians actually had the English word chief.
Well,
so again, it's another paradoxical idea. They had a word, presumably, that the English translated to be the word chief.
I don't know where it came from.
Well, but presumably, whatever the Indian word was for the leader of their tribe, the translators were told that he was called the leader of the tribe, and at the time in English, that person was usually called the chief person, the chief.
Well.
So to say that an English word could be demeaning of native Indian Americans is, again, another one of these paradoxical views. That doesn't make any sense, does it?
No.
How can the use of an English word be derogatory of American Indians?
Yes. Well, nobody asked that question. All they are, they don't realize what's happening just with the alteration of the language to basically purify it in the people that run the language. Yeah, they don't see the problem with just that idea, so they dwell upon it. But I always thought chief just meant the guy with the most feathers, according to all the movies I want. Most feathers in his headdress. I'm just being with that.
Hang on. That's not a silly statement because that is exactly how I remember, the fancy dress parties of my childhood.
Yeah.
The girls would have one feather with the thing around the head, in the headband.
Right. Yeah. They were the squaws.
They were the squaws, and the really big, elaborate one was the chief. It was great.
Yeah. And I guess it's sort of trying to mimic nature with. The fact, for instance, that a peacock, he's the one with the male is the dominating one with all the colorful feathers, and the female is just the bland, plain-looking one.
Yeah, fantastic.
I guess it was to mimic nature in a sense. Maybe that's what the natives were thinking. But anyway, I'm digressing. So we had Deep the Chief meeting JFK. That was an interesting video, and they also put a video up of a JFK board game that came out, I guess, in and around the time, just with all the assassination stories built into it. I thought that was pretty fascinating.
Are you kidding me?
Amazing. No, I'm not. I posted on thinkologist.com.
Wow.
If you want to play it, you can go to my blog and play it. Well, and I'll wait for you to come back, and it's only a minute. It's just a descriptive video of the board game.
Wow.
Fascinating. Oh. Fascinating little nonsensical tidbits.
I'll have to come back to you because I do have to push on with the day, but yeah.
All right.
That's, I do look forward to that.
Yeah, just, it's amazing what they do to promote the myth.
Yeah.
Amazing. It's truly amazing. So, those are some of the things I've been looking at. And,
So when do all those things get released? The the new type?
I don't know. I don't know. They said there's 3,000 documents that Trump is allegedly going to allow to be released. And I don't, I haven't looked into it. I've been very, very busy. But
okay, so it's going to be another excuse to have a Trump look like a really awful white male bastard with no ability to control his emotional responses. And why would we get him in charge of the nuclear power, nuclear weapons, you know?
I think they're scheduled to be released. I don't think you can really pin this on Trump in any way. It's on the schedule of release dates. I don't know what year this is. 55 years later, I believe. I don't know what that means, but I think it was on a schedule. So I don't think there's anything we can pin Trump with, but I don't know. What it does do is rekindle the whole JFK was shot in plain daylight, in Dealey Plaza. That's all it does. It just brings it back, brings the myth back, and people believe it, and just reinforces that there are mystical powers that are working against good.
Good.
Can you update us on the K-Ham controversy with you and the Ballert debate, just for those, because all that has scrolled by on the text channels on the Discord? What is happening there?
All that's happened is that Kay was on a video where she disparaged my view that we're unable to demonstrate that the Earth is a curve, and so I challenged Kay to talk with me on audio, which she what would you say? She decided that shouldn't happen, and we had a brief discussion, early discussion on chat, and then later on Kay put up some discussion about radio towers.
Yeah, I don't follow that at all. I do not follow that at all.
So radio, I think, towers. Between myself and Just Saying Dude, I think it was, or it may have been someone else, forgive me if I've got the wrong fellow, that in the end Kay decided to decamp on that particular process of continuing the discussion. Yeah. So at this stage, I think it's I haven't been sufficiently convinced that the Earth is curved yet. Let's put it that way. It's interesting. I think that Kay has such a strong belief about it.
Yeah.
I don't fully understand what her belief is based on, and I don't think Kay's very clear about it.
Yeah. So there's no debate there. Okay. There's no upcoming audio debate, rather.
No. Kay won't do it at all. No. But I'm more than willing to do so. Her last comment to me is that she doesn't want to do that because she's well aware of my audio tactics.
Do you have any good ones? What are your tactics?
I thought I was just being thoughtful and logical.
Right.
Well, my basic view is we can never really prove anything. We have a series of models that we can disprove, but you know, until you've just proven a model, that model should be considered to be valid. And I think that's a reasonable model. It's one that's been well established in the philosophy of science by a guy called Karl Popper. And it relies on the view that if something is contradictory, then you've disproven it. And, and you even get to the crazy situation where some people argue that, just because it's got a contradiction doesn't mean it's disproven. But that's okay. That's, the logic fallacy or something. So that's really the technique I use. I haven't been able to confirm any curve, and certainly all the observations I make show just complete straightness.
Mm-hmm. Have you been listening to any audios lately of interest to fakeology?
Most of the audios that I listen to are to do with, I guess, the Bible, to be truthful.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, the topic of great interest to me at the moment is that particular book, that mechanism, and the discussion that's going on about the Torah and the Talmud. So the Torah is what we call the Old Testament, and then after the destruction of the temple Jews moved into using the Torah, sorry, the Talmud, and the Talmud is a much more mystical book, and is and that's where the practice of the Kabbalah comes from.
Okay, and that's the one with a lot of the nasty ideas that people that don't like Jews drag out and use.
Yes. So the
Okay.
And it's very difficult to get an English translation of the Talmud. In a nutshell, I guess, the modern Jewry thinks of the Torah, what we call the Old Testament, as a fairy tale, and that, essentially there is no one God, and it's all about we're all part of God. So that's, I guess, the debate that I've been finding the most interesting.
Okay. No, you're a fan of Goldbug. Do you ever listen to some of his audios he posts?
So I find his arguments very compelling, and I think you do as well. The one in particular that I find compelling is the idea that you can be a candidate without.
Yes, I like that.
And as far as I can tell, that's completely true here in Australia as well. I like that aspect, that it's an actionable thing that you can say, if you can draw attention to that, and then I think that will unglue the problems with our current system of being governed. It may be, I doubt in the end that if we do unravel it, then the iron hand will just come out of the velvet glove, that's all. But
I think they'll just patch up the hole. I think it's just a leaky hole. I think they'll just patch it and it won't make any difference. But it's an interesting idea, nonetheless.
Yeah. I agree with you.
It won't change the direction of the ship, since everything is marine based or maritime based, I guess. I don't think it'll make any difference. But yeah, he does talk about that a lot. I like that. He doesn't really get into his ear comparisons or this person is that person or this person's a member of the Greenberg family as much in his audios. He almost passes over it and does talk about other things.
That's kind of interesting, isn't it? Yeah. I find that interesting. So his main thrust is that there is a group of families in the USA that basically control all things, and he has the view that a person called Kermit Roosevelt, who history says died when he was flying for England in World War I, ultimately became Walt Disney and Adolf Hitler. Now, I would have thought this extraordinary claim could be easily disproved, so I'm looking forward to that occurring.
Yeah. No, he doesn't really... I never heard him dwell on that topic again. I just...
It is interesting, and it's... Yeah, and it looks like... And there's a bit of a moving feast about who is who, but, yeah, I find the concept, satisfactory enough that I have accepted, I guess, the possibility that our politicians, the histories that we're given for people in Australian politics, for example, is a bit maybe questionable. And it's certainly interesting to me that all the senior politicians that retire from Australian politics have ended up in some sort of job in New York of some kind.
Right, indicates a globalist agenda.
So, for example, ex-Prime Minister Rudd, who Dallas Goldbug claims to be the same guy that plays Elton John, he's Australia's UN ambassador, a role that's appointed by government, and astonishes me that he's still in that role, even though he's allegedly completely at odds with the current government over a number of issues, because he was a Labor Prime Minister and the current government is a Conservative government. And Kim Beazley, who was a former leader of the opposition and was a Prime Minister, I think, for a short time, he's ended up in New York. And, of course, my favourite, Julia Gillard, who Alice Goldblatt claims is played by Jodie Foster, is now also in a role in New York, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I think there are 6, 7, or 8 others that have all ended up in Washington or in New York doing high-powered things for the Australian, on behalf of the Australian people, allegedly. So they can't be contacted. They just disappeared.
Mm-hmm. Well, I haven't seen any Jodie Foster movies lately, but Who knows what she's up to? Yeah, I don't buy into that, just so anyone knows. But we don't have any Canadians that are in that program you're mentioning. Hey, what happened to the Australian gay marriage debate? That's on or off?
No, that's still on. So what? So in summary, for people that are would obviously be unfamiliar with it, what's happened in Australia up until 2004, it was completely okay for men to marry men in Australia.
All right. What about women and women? Same?
There was no law defining what a marriage was. And what happened in 2004 is that the Prime Minister of the day, John Howard, introduced laws which specifically defined that a marriage was between a man and a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And although that was really in terms of, that was a relatively short time ago, that law was passed without a murmur. In fact, I never even heard the time that it was going on. And there was no fuss made at all about changing the law to ensure that marriage could only be between a man and a woman. And yet, it's almost as if people are saying that homosexuality has just arrived in 2017. Because now, when they're talking about changing the law to a back again, when in fact they're going to introduce a whole raft of new legislation rather than simply undo the existing one that was brought in 2004. So to help them decide if it's going to happen, there's a ballot being taken of people's opinion on the topic, and the ballot is non-binding. And the question was, do you want to allow the government to change the law to allow same-sex marriage? And you answer either yes or no. And, of course, you're being asked to agree to give the government carte blanche to change the law in any way, shape or form they like. So you're being asked to agree to a change in Family Law Act, which is a contract, without knowing what the changes are.
Interesting. So there's no tick box, there's no choice. Would you like the law struck down and just abolished? That's perhaps what you would check.
Well, the whole idea, yeah, perhaps, but the whole idea is, a number of issues come out of it for me. Firstly, why wasn't there a fuss in 2004? Why is there a fuss now? Why was the law changed? And why didn't anyone in 2004 pick up the stink that's been created now? None of this comes across as anything other than being a setup from way back, just to divide and conquer, the usual thing. So, and of course, it's very divisive, this idea.
Mm-hmm.
Very divisive. Children, and it's usually along generational lines, of course. If you like, the baby boomers are totally at odds with their children over the topic.
Yeah. It's a generational division for sure. Yeah. And maybe religious. Some people that are practicing in any religion would probably be opposed to it.
Probably, yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's, in text, we were having a discussion with John Adams, the very thoughtful John Adams, who points out that the whole meaning of the word sex has been totally changed. Sex simply means, just used to mean whether you are male or female. And then around, 1900, the word sex came to describe the act of coitus.
Copulation, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And
sexy talk.
Etc. So can you have can you have sex if it's not between a man and a woman? If it's not to create a baby, what is it about?
Mm-hmm.
So it's that's the latest diversion, and I just wonder what other legislation is actually being promulgated while all this is going on, because
Australia. Yes, it's a huge distraction. So did that referendum go through already?
So it was done by postal vote, and it's still continuing.
Oh.
And it cost, there was a big hullabaloo about the fact that it cost $120 million and how the government
does. How is that possible?
For it to cost $120
million? Yeah.
Well, of course, it's ridiculous, isn't it? Because the cost of printing out these pamphlets and delivering them, it clearly doesn't cost anything like that, Ab, because the people that are employed to publish the documents are already employed in the first place. People that are employed to deliver the documents are already employed in the first place, because it's just the postal service. And they were going to get paid whether or not pellet was going to take place. So the reality is there's not any net change in cost, but someone is getting a huge chunk of money and, you know, it's all...
That's a real scandal.
And the other stuff is about, how can we afford this when there's a shortage of money? And again, it's just to reinforce the money thing. Because, of course, the Australian government is entitled to print as much money as it feels like, without limit. It's the Australian government.
There is a shortage of money. It never has been, and it never will be. It's an artificially created shortage.
Entirely, yeah. No. So all of those things are just, it's just a full court press, isn't it? It's magnificent to watch it in play. It just is there to just mess people's heads up and become fearful.
Yeah. And reinforce the system that they all believe in, because everyone's afraid if the system became unraveled, what would happen? What would happen to everybody? Where would the water come from? Where would the sun still come up? That kind of thing.
That's right.
Yeah,
of course,
if
the whole system cascaded down to a complete stop, everyone would probably be much better off.
Or they just come up with another system that would probably be exactly the same.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that just like an anthill, if we kicked off the anthill that we're living in now, it would just be recreated again in the same way.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm afraid I've been highly boring and...
Not
fearful of anything. As
you're
it
not
seems
afraid
you are.
Of anything today?
I can't think. I can't think of anything I'm fearful of.
No, you say I'm fearful today?
No, I said, and you don't seem to be fearful either.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not. I'm really not. There's nothing really hanging over my head. I do fear icy roads in the winter, to an extent, but it's always much. That's also a unfounded fear, because we only have about 5 of those really difficult days to navigate through the city. But other than that, it's just cold and wet and dreary most of the time. So that's another unfounded fear that never comes to pass usually.
I must say one other thing in the Bible that I have found particularly helpful is with regard to paying taxes.
Ah.
Where Jesus says, whose head is on the coin? And the answer is it's Julius Caesar's head. And Jesus says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. You know, in our case, who creates all this money? And if they want it back, it's theirs. So just give it back to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't have any concerns about paying taxes or not paying taxes. The whole system is just whatever they want it to be.
Well, you know, who's on your currency? Is the Queen?
The Queen, yeah.
Do you have any prime ministers or wildlife on your currency?
Yeah, they're all on the reverse side, of course. I think the Canadian dollars are actually printed by the Australian Mint, by the way.
Yeah, well, we have a mint here. We do a lot of minting for the world here.
Oh, as well, okay.
We got some good mints. We do a lot gold.
I thought the Canadian currency was printed in Australia, or was for a while.
No. Well, I don't know. There's different coins and bills, but we're a leader in now the money's plastic and it's...
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist audio chat on Fakeologist.com.
The money's plastic, it's translucent. It's just to stay ahead of all the really good quality color photocopiers, and our mint is pretty good. It's got a worldwide reputation for being able to avoid counterfeit, which is the name of the game. Because if you could just print your own money, then it would be worthless, wouldn't it? They tell you that. If someone could just print their money all day long, it would make everyone else's worthless.
Well, of course, anybody that writes a check does that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's an IOU, yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, I better get on with my day. Thanks for the opportunity to...
always good to hear from you.
Disgorge some of my opinions.
Is there anything new on your blog?
No, I am going to start writing things. I've been having discussions with a YouTuber called Wolfie, who's apparently an airline pilot. And he's carefully established for me that... that airline equipment such as artificial horizons and directional gyros can't detect the curve of the Earth because they've been designed to correct their precession. And he's carefully established for me that airline pilots make no correction for the movement of the Earth. But he insists that I'm crazy for thinking the Earth might be flat, even though he has demonstrated that he's got not the slightest evidence that it's curved or that it moves.
Yeah, because being a pilot really make him any more qualified than a non-pilot?
Well, the point I'm making, I think it makes him perfectly qualified to discuss what he's saying. You know, he thinks it's a great victory for curved Earth that he's demonstrated that his artificial horizon gyroscope corrects for the curve as it goes along. And then he says, and there's no way to modify this instrument to have it detect the curve of the Earth. And the reason this is an issue is simply because there's one of the famous experiments establishing that the Earth curved and moved was called the Foucault gyroscopic experiment.
Okay. And the Foucault pendulum?
It's similar, but it's actually a gyroscope. The same fellow.
Okay.
And the discussions of the Foucault gyroscope and how it established that the Earth is curving are crazy. Similarly, you'll have heard people talk about rifles firing and the sniper has to account for the Coriolis effect in aiming his weapon.
Yes.
But, of course, a plane traveling from, let's say, Vancouver to New York or Vancouver even to Los Angeles doesn't have to take any account of the fact the Earth is moving.
Or even running or landing on a north-south runway. That's what I've heard recently.
All that stuff. There's no requirement, even though at the equator it's traveling at 1,600 kilometers an hour.
So the Earth is moving for a bullet, but it's not moving for a plane landing on a north-south runway. Is that right?
It just goes on and on with the paradox.
Contradiction. Yeah.
It's the same thing that I carry on about. It's the paradox. And the fact that this fellow holds the paradoxical view that he's very clever for establishing that aircraft gyroscope instruments cannot be used to establish a curve of the Earth is completely lost on him, I'm sure. Great. I love it.
Interesting. Well, bring him onto the audio chat.
I've asked him to do a radio interview with me, but he says no, he's not keen to do that. He's got to think of his professional reputation or something, probably. Who knows?
Well, his professional reputation, his whole profession is being replaced by robotics, and I don't think he has to worry.
No. Yeah, anyway, so that was...
All right.
I mean, in the end, if the Earth's curved, the Earth's curved, but, you know, we really are expected to believe a whole lot of stuff, aren't we?
Yeah, I don't really have... I'm not really too passionate either way, but it's curved or not, it doesn't bother me. But I just like studying all the stories that led up to the decision that is now the consensus of the shape of the Earth. And it's just interesting, the psychology and how the official story was manipulated and is held to be the mainstream belief today.
It's even more, you know, all this stuff about attacking Mark Sargent. I mean, it's interesting as well that how it's also been brought in with a particular set of easily disprovable straw man arguments as well, isn't it?
Yeah. Do you listen to any of the baller skeptic shows, the flat earth shows at all? I've really come away from them because I've heard enough.
Yeah. Same here.
Lost my interest. Yeah.
Yeah. So as I said, for me, the main action is really about the Bible, simply because it is the book on which law is based, and it is, it seems that modern science is very Kabbalistic, you know, action at a distance and all that sort of stuff. And I think, as I've pointed out to, you know, it's very clear to me that you can't have a vacuum of space and an atmosphere, which means there must be a firmament. So it's only in these books that you get these ideas promulgated long before, you know, I've got the chance to make the observations and understand that there was some element of truth if you like, in those books.
What do you think motivates these flatter shows? What do you think sustains them, sustains their interest?
Well, it must be money, mustn't it? They must be being paid.
Someone has to pay them. Who's paying them, I wonder? Is it the same old disruptors, or are they just trying to keep a divide and conquer going all the time?
I feel like this is a Dorothy Dixer for me. My view is simply that the fallen angels are running the show, and they have been since they fell.
Mm.
You know, to me, them is very clearly fallen heavenly beings. So, but again, no ability to prove it. I'm looking forward to disproving it. But the plans of control of our society and the movements of economic activity seems so well planned in advance. It's difficult for me to imagine that it could occur with people with normal lifespans. And I think I've put forward that view many, many times, including when in a discussion with Chris Kendall.
Oh, okay.
You know, I just don't see how people could plan for the creation of Israel, or, you know, the move of economic activity from the USA to China without those things. I mean, that's taken place over 50 years, and those plans were well entrenched and established long before that. The control system, the newspapers, it's been a long-running system of control.
Mm-hmm. And well, to me, you think it needs extended lifespans of people that so that they make sure they're implemented. Yeah,
and I guess I base it on the view that no business organization that I've been in has been able to maintain its continuity.
Right, over generations. That's tricky.
Yeah.
Well, that was the whole point of corporations, is to allow continuity between proprietors, because people die off, so they keep the entity going through a corpse, basically. That's the purpose of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you don't think, I agree that once you bring in new people, corporations can just change wholesale over very short periods of time. They lose their focus. They can lose everything. They can lose their motivation. And an enduring corporation is fairly rare, unless it's
The founder may have had of an organization, time, you know, three or four generations down the track, it's hard to imagine. But there's never going to be someone elected to that board that doesn't share, if you like, the nefarious views of the founders. So.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
So I guess, you know, I think on the balance of probabilities, it's more likely to be a group of people with an extended lifespans. A supernatural, if you like, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, I think you could describe some of the secret societies as supernatural in the way they conspire to maybe keep the program going. I don't know. There's different organizations that seem to endure over time.
Yeah.
You could describe it to extended life of humans, which I don't buy into that, but I think there are societies and entities that just endure over time for sure.
Hmm.
We just don't know about them. Or they're not advertised, or we don't know what's really happening. Someone has to run society.
We are 100% in the dark. There's just simply no way for us to know. And as the famous quote is, we don't know what we don't know.
maybe he says that knowing something that he can't or won't tell us. Yeah.
Et cetera. Yeah. All right, I really must dash. Thanks
all
for the time and chat. Take care.
All right, take care. Bye-bye, Frank the Salt Guy. All right, there goes Frank, an ounce of salt. Thanks for listening.
Hello, I am Stephen Hawking from Oxford, England. You are listening to Fakeologist Radio on fakeologist.com.